as we consider resting the mind. It's a complex situation, if you will, because the mind is complex. So complex does not necessarily mean complicated. Complex is reporting to us that there are variables, there are many parts, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's complicated. So that's where to begin, with this idea of rest the mind completely. Quite often for us, the idea of rest is that one part of us is resting. Maybe we're sitting down, and so the physical body is not walking, as an example, or standing. But are all the other parts of us still quite active? That would be one consideration. Another, to help us understand this idea of resting the mind completely, is that emotions are actually part of the functioning of mind. The Western model has separated just about everything out, so that, you know, nowadays, even, you know, you look for a particular supplement to address a particular physical issue. So that separateness, that divisiveness has pervaded how we look at our own psycho-spiritual nature, and that the psychology that we are living, which is intellect, intelligence, feelings, sensations, emotions, the whole gamut of that is actually, you know, an integrated whole. No one can have a thought that is not related to an emotion, or vice versa. So, because it is one whole. That's why. It is one whole. You can't separate them out because there's a non-divisiveness here. But conceptually, these things have been divided. But concepts, as we are learning, of course, through not only meditation practice, but, you know, through our philosophical orientations, we are learning that nothing is separate. So then, if we look at the cat's emotions are calm. The cat's physical body, physical desires are also calm. If we consider that the cat still could, just like us, when we are resting and we are quietening, we still have the capacity to hear something outside, something within the room, but there's not a paying attention to it. But if we look at the cat hasn't made some sort of volitional effort to not listen to the sounds in the room. It's that they no longer are important. And that's the key. So we smile. And breathe. By choosing to make the smile, the breath, and our sitting forefront in importance, then, even if only for a few seconds, other things fade. The list, the responsibilities, the tasks, they fade, even if, again, for just a few seconds. Let us Let us just sit with that for a moment. Sit with it and think on it for a moment. That when we bring certain things forefront, others fade. Now, this is reporting that there is actually no such thing as multitasking. In fact, simultaneity is not ever happening. And our direct experience of something being called to the forefront and that others naturally will fade report to us that there's, you cannot hold the both things equal in being forefront. So, in fact, that which fades is in a state of rest. So what we are feeling is an impartiality. Can we all feel that? That arrested state and its tranquility, if it has serenity. What is serenity? Serenity is that there is a contentment, that the rested state is a neutrality, an impartiality. This is actually really important. From the point of view of practice, its significance is that it can be used all through the day. And the more that we just let something be, truly let it be, let our emotions or our mind or our desire nature or whatever it is that's often engaged in what in the something, in the moment, just let it rest. And in order to do that, as human beings, impartiality will be what cultivates that ability to just let it rest. So we smile, which is not impartial. And we breathe. That also is not. We've chosen a focus. We've chosen to do something. so we can feel that breath is an impartiality. Because it is constant, no matter what, it is impartial. It is neutral. Breath doesn't think about how to adjust. It just does it. Now, somebody can say whatever they want about the physiology that's all involved with that and the parasympathetic system, etc. But from a psychological point of view, breath is neutral. Breath, even when it's moving, is at rest. And so we breathe. can we all feel the warm-heartedness that is within this simplicity? Can we feel the simplicity of mind is itself its own clarity? Can we feel that when we are not chasing, but simply breathing, that there's a profundity to that presence, and the converse is also so, that when we are off on a trail in our mind, the profound fades, which tells us something about, you know, the level at which we are living most of our day. Not judging it like as negative, but simply allowing ourselves to notice the usually not noticed. When my mind is trailed off, the simplicity, the clarity, the alertness, the genuineness also fades. So we breathe. We smile and take a long, slow, deep breath. and we breathe our sitting into our day, breathe it into the world for the well-being of all beings. So let's take a moment here. Why breath? Why is it the foundational, advancing, and most advanced something that we do in meditation practice? Why is it that which will tame, that which will train, which will offer tranquility, impartiality, warm-heartedness, clarity, alertness, etc.? Why? Because it is true. That is to say, breathing is true. It's what is happening. And if we focus on the breath and use effort accordingly until we don't need to use effort, one day, maybe today, that'll be so. One lifetime, maybe this lifetime, that will be so. But until then, we need effort. So if we focus on breath, breath helps us understand and experience now. Any thoughts that we are having are not now. They are thoughts of the past. They are thoughts of the future. They are thoughts that are futuristic, as in wishes, hopes. What am I going to do when I get up from the day? What am I going to make today? What stops do I have to make on the way to work? Who am I going to talk to today? What are they going to talk about? All of that's future. And then we have all the past stuff that is constantly arising in our mind. Breath is now. And what it supports and helps us cultivate is more awareness of now, which means that then we become more aware of when our mind or our emotions are not in the now. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with making a list, thinking about the day, planning ahead. There's, of course, nothing wrong with remembering something from the past and remembering it for functional reasons. There's no harm, no foul. But we spend most of our day unaware that we are in futuristic mode, that we are not in present. And that's why breath, among myriad other reasons. But that's why breath. So that we become more aware. That's all. How great is that? So we take it off the cushion, and may we all simply have alertness, warm-heartedness, and bring it into the day, breath by breath. Love you all. Create your day.